Carlson. Please proceed when you're ready.
Okay, please court. Good morning. My name is Mark Carlson. I'm with Hoggins, Berman, Sobel, Shapiro, and I'm here for the appellant. And with me is co-counsel Kelly Heineman from Shagru Mayan. We're here today to talk about a software invention. The software has a feature called a first adapter, and the first adapter performs four functions. It extracts the object name and attributes from an object. It packs the object name and attributes, and it sends that off to the second adapter. Then it later receives an object back, and it unpacks
that
object.
There were four separate limitations that the district courts found were not satisfied by the Oracle product, right?
Correct, yes.
So if we agree on any one of the four, then we have to affirm.
That's
right?
Correct, Your Honor. That is correct. I have to go four for four today. And that would ordinarily, I think, be difficult. But I think that the issues before the court really come down to did we present evidence, and was that evidence credited? And I think the answer is that, yes, we did present evidence, and no, it was not credited. Let me take on extracting the first of the four limitations. And what the district court said is the claim language and the preferred embodiments require and show extracting a subset of the information in order for it to be packed for communication. And that presents a claim construction issue. We addressed that in the briefs. Unless the court has questions about the claim construction itself, we would like to rely on the briefs on that point because we don't think it affects the outcome.
Well, the claim constructions were what you proposed, right?
Pardon me?
All the claim constructions that the court adopted.
No. Extracting was a new claim construction that the court engaged in at summary judgment. It had engaged in construction of numerous terms previously at the claim construction stage. Then Oracle popped up years later and said, I want to move for summary judgment on extracting. A dispute arose over what that meant, and the court construed it in its summary judgment.
This is where the court said order. The information or the data, whatever, had to be extracted from one object, couldn't
yes.
be apart from one object, apart from another object.
Exactly.
That's what we're...
Exactly, Your Honor. And really, that's the nub of the dispute
But you can't separate the extracting language from the object language. And the object is, you propose, instance of a class, right?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And what the court said was that we had not shown that the name and attributes are extracted from a singular instance of a class. And I don't think
that it would be appropriate for you to create new exhibits in the courtroom. So you at least should put your pen down.
All right. I can do this, Your Honor, from the appendix, if that helps.
If it's in the record, yes, that does help. I don't
of course,
think
yes.
Creating a new record.
At appendix 0346, paragraphs 64 and 68, this is Dr. Jagadish's expert report, and this is where he explains that...
0346?
Yes. It goes on to 0347, but the paragraphs that we're interested in are paragraphs 64 and 68. And what Dr. Jagadish says is, look, there's a method in the software, and it's called find. And the find has a set of inputs. We can call them inputs, we can call them parameters, but what they are is a set of inputs that tell the find method what it is you want it to find. And he said, within those, among those inputs are class T entity class, and no one disputes that's the object name. And another input is object primary key, and no one disputes that's the object attributes. And that is what he is pointing to as the class. When it's stated generically in the software, these are generic descriptions of the inputs that go into the find method. When you compile that source code and run the application, it will generate a specific request, a specific request that meets those parameters. And the example that he gave is employee.class, object name, my primary key, specific employee object attributes. That is an object. That is an instance of the class that's defined by the inputs to the find method. class T entity class object primary key. That's what we alleged was the object at issue here. The experts disagreed. Oracle's expert came in and said, well, no, if you pop the hood on what we're talking about as an object, that's actually two objects in there. And he said, not only that, there's not even objects in there, there's pointers to other objects. Well, the experts disagree, and that's true. But the district court can't resolve that disagreement. That's an issue of fact. That's an issue of fact as to how a person of ordinary skill in the art would read that term and whether a person of skill in the art would understand that to be an object. And we presented evidence in support of that. And then the evidence that supported that is at 875 to 879 of the appendix. And this is a claim chart. This was attached to Dr. Jagadish's expert report. It's his chart showing what the structures are that satisfy the limitations. And at 875, you can see we're talking about extracting. This is extracting by the first adapter. And then if you turn to 876, this is the exact source code that performs the extracting functions. If you look at lines 3 to 4, you can see the find method. You can then see the parenthetical that follows that with the parameters that go into it. The first is the object name, entity class. The second is the object attributes. And then there are some other parameters that go into that as well. If you look down to line 7, that's the specific line where the entity class is extracted. And that's the object name. And then if you look down to 22, line 22, where it says return T, find internal descriptor, that's the line of code where extracting the object attributes occurred. And then, of course, Dr. Jagadish doesn't expect the district court to be reading source code, so he explains in the paragraph that follows at the bottom of 876 down to the top of 877 what it is that we are contending is extracted and how it's extracted. And it meets the court's new summary judgment construction because less than all is extracted from one object, a singular instance of a class. And in the first instance, we take out the object name, and in the second, we take out the attributes and a couple of other parameters, but not the whole. In neither instance is it the whole. So in both instances, the court's construction is satisfied. Let me turn to packing. So here, what the district court said is that the claim language requires something more than simply rearranging data. It requires manipulation of its form. It never really tells us what it means to manipulate the form of an intangible like data. But that was an issue of claim construction. And again, we'd like to rely on our briefs for that point. We think the court was wrong, but we don't think it affects the outcome here. And so I'd like to just address the merits of what the court did. Now, what the court said is that we merely rearranged the data. Well, what our evidence was at Appendix 881, and that is where we, again, showed the code that performs this function, the packing function. And what we told the district court was that packing is taking the object name and attributes out of the request object that comes from the application and sticking them into a query object that is sent then to the second adapter. Now,
here's what I don't understand.
Sure, Your Honor.
I don't understand in the claim construction with regard to packing. Bundling is packing. So did the district court, when he added the manipulation in, accept the idea that bundling is manipulating the data? Or is it your belief that his importation, I assume it's a him, I didn't look, is it a him?
Yeah, yes.
His importation of manipulation in eliminated the idea that bundling could amount to packing?
I think that's exactly correct, Your Honor.
So your view is when he added the word manipulation, he now is requiring a change in the data, not a reorganization of the data.
Yes. His understanding, I think, of manipulation is it's more than simply arranging existing data. It requires manipulation of its form. And that is contrary to an example in the patent that's expressly provided and that we cited to the district court at column 10, lines 5 through 10. And there what the patentee said is because the first adapter packs object requests as a single API call returning a single complex result, then it reduces a network latency. So this is an example of packing where you take multiple requests for data from an application and you bundle them together. Now, you're not going to leave data out of that, because then you might not get the data that you want from the database. So bundling is a form of manipulation.
But I guess I keep going back to the court's original claim construction, which you haven't appealed. And that claim construction described packing as including compacting, reordering, otherwise manipulating for various purposes. The original claim construction had that contemplation in it.
Yeah, that
Whether
was...
that claim construction is right or wrong is a different question, but you haven't appealed the claim construction.
Right. That was a gloss that the district court put on the claim construction.
At the time of the claim construction.
Yes, but what it said is that packing could involve manipulation. It didn't say that it must involve manipulation, and that was in the context of rejecting Oracle's requirement that there be translation involved. So you actually have to take the data and translate it into some other data, and the district court said no. There could be other forms of packing, and they could involve manipulation, but he didn't say that they must involve manipulation. And the second point the court said was that, well, you haven't told us that it's for the purpose of communication. And yes, we certainly did, and that's at Appendix 0348-49, where Dr. Jagadish says, look, we're not changing the data values, but we are putting data in a form in which it's expected for the downstream components. The second adapter can't process the object request from the application. It can only process a query object, and that's what we do. We take the name and attributes out of the object request, and then we put it in the query object.
You're into your rebuttal time. Would you like to save the remainder?
I'd like to briefly address one last point. It addresses the last two of the limitations, unpacking and instantiating. I think this is a really straightforward issue. It's a misunderstanding of the evidence that we put forward that I think was propagated by Oracle. We submitted a claim chart, which I've shown the court, and it has the portions of the structure of the program which we contend constitute the first adapter and perform the functions there. And they're all there in a standard claim chart. You have the limitation and then followed by the structure that constitutes it. Oracle came in and said, ignore all that. The only thing that they call the first adapter is the entity manager, entity manager component. Ignore everything else. And we said, well, wait a minute. That's Dr. Jagadish said, look, you're trying to say that that's all I'm talking about in paragraph 76 of his declaration at Appendix 349. And then in paragraph 7, he said, I don't limit myself to entity manager. I identified all of the components in the in my claim chart. And then he cited to the claim chart. And then there's paragraph 78 that the district court relied on. And there he said, in there I cited JPA's entity manager, Toplex JPA entity manager, Toplex entity manager, IMPL, and other components. He wasn't defining all of them. He had cited them in his claim chart. He was merely saying, I disagree with Dr. Jagadish's attempt to narrow. So if you go to these other limitations, the remaining two, unpacking, the district court said, you say that value from row unpacks. Well, that isn't one of the three things that you said was the first adapter. That's not true. It is, and you can find it at 887. We did say that in the in appendix. Same thing for instantiating. We said it's the object builder and it's build new instance method. And the district court said that's not one of the three. And in fact, it was one of the structures that we pointed to at appendix 889 and 892. And I'll reserve my last 55 seconds for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
May it please the court. Fott's arguments below and before this court ignore one critical, undisputed factual point in how the accused TopLink software works. TopLink does not extract information out of an object. In each instance,
from two different objects.
Either from one or two, Your Honor. It never extracts information out of an object. Everything Thought has identified is itself an object.
It
and
takes
what,
an object name from entity class, right? Isn't that what the entity class, I think it's called?
No, Your Honor. What's undisputed is that entity class itself is an object. Primary key itself is a separate object.
Yes.
And what TopLink does is copies those entire objects and passes them along the different components in the chain until it gets to the database. And that's fundamentally different from the 197 patent, which in Claim 3, for example, says you've got to, at this first adapter gateway, before you even get to the second adapter, let alone to the database, you've got to extract stuff out of an object, a singular object. And what's the stuff you've got to extract? You've got to extract a name and attributes, at least. And why do you have to extract that out? Because you've got to packet his data.
So and couldn't you, quote, extract the entirety of the object and just and still have the information you need and packet after the fact?
Your Honor, that would not be extracting from an object, and that's what the claim explicitly requires. Extract object name and object attributes from an object, which all both parties agree must be a singular object. Everything Thought points to, even it's this newly minted request object that its expert tries to concoct out of whole cloth, all of that relies on the entity class object and the primary key object being copied and passed along. That's what is put into this query object, are the other two objects. And so merely putting them into another container does not extract information out of them, let alone pack it. And why does the patent say we want to extract and pack data? It's to improve performance. For example, reduce network latency. This patent was filed for in the late 90s when the internet was burgeoning, and so it gives an example.
The more stuff you pull out, the more data it takes up, the more memory it takes up, the more space and time it takes to pass it along. So extracting is pulling a subset.
Precisely.
I have four kids. I extract one, life is easier.
Well,
I won't tell you which one.
And you wouldn't extract all four because that wouldn't be extracting, right? You wouldn't extract the entirety of them. That's the point. And that's exactly right, Your Honor, in that analogy.
Now, if you're assuming that there were extraction, so assuming that we found that you could still take information from the whole object, let's talk about the manipulation issue.
Sure.
Do you believe that the court's interpretation would, at this point, read out the possibility of just putting them together in one database?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, but the key point is that's not what is done in TopLink. I believe, so the one point where we don't disagree that merely arranging data could still be considered packing. So in other words, if you were to reorder data to make it more efficient to transmit, that could, I think, be considered manipulation.
Bundling. You pull together all the names, you put them in one place, and the attributes somewhere else, or whatever. You bundle data.
You're creating efficiency, but the key point is, but that's not what TopLink does. What TopLink does is take objects as they've always existed and simply put them in another container. And the two objects are still there. The entity class and the primary key objects are still there as two separate objects. They're not bundled. They're not packed together.
Is TopLink the only Oracle product that is alleged to infringe?
Your Honor, there's also a product named EclipseLink, which is essentially an open source version of TopLink, but the parties have treated them all. And there are also various versions of TopLink that are at issue, but essentially the parties don't, for purposes of this appeal, don't rely on distinctions between the products.
Okay.
They work in the same way, and the reason is they don't have this first and second adapter structure, which requires extracting data out of an object. Instead, they just pass the object along the components until it gets to the database. And that's very different from the 197 patent, which says at the front end, before when you're still dealing with the object application, before you've even gone to the middleware, let alone the database, you've got to extract information out, packet as data, send it to this separate second adapter component. And that's what TopLink doesn't do. Now, Thought has tried to read that onto TopLink, and that is, I think, what has created the difficulty that it's found itself in with respect to the first adapter claim elements, because it's tried to identify a component here, a component there that might relate to somehow an alleged first adapter. But the core undisputed fact that The parties don't dispute, even Dr. Jagadish does not dispute, that data is not pulled out of entity class. Data is not pulled out of primary key. Those are separate objects.
And does that, you're back to the extracting question, so does that resolve the entire case? Do I need to agree with you that the district court got it right on packing if I agree with you on extracting?
No, Your Honor, and actually Mr. Carlson has to go 5-5 because there are two independent grounds on extracting that the district court ruled in our favor. So we believe there are actually 5 separate grounds here that he would have to show error. We don't believe he can show any, but you're right. If you agree with me on either extracting issue or packing or either first adapter issue, then the result should here be an affirmance.
Meaning the court said that it had to come from, that the information had to come from a single object, right?
That's one issue, yes, Your Honor.
And the second one would be subset.
Exactly. We can't just copy a whole object and pass it along. We've got to pull something out of it under the plain and ordinary meaning of extracting. So those are really two separate issues. And they try to get around them by having their expert coin what he calls this request object, or what he says in the gray brief as a parameters object. But all that is what he's done is saying, well, here's a method called find, and it has a template of maybe 5 or 6 variables that can be input into the method. And so I'm going to name that a class because it's a template. And that, Your Honor, is simply out of whole cloth, as I said. There's nothing that says a class is a template in the judge's construction of class is not even actually a claim term. And there's nothing in the software, critically, that says that this find method creates a class. Classes aren't just...
What about all this data that's being referred to in Dr. Jagadish's report? I mean, obviously summary judgment is a difficult thing because there has to be no material issue of fact. Are you saying that doesn't even create a fact question?
That's correct, Your Honor, because all that source code, while it may be difficult to read and understand, and it certainly is voluminous, it doesn't change what was undisputed. They have never said, and they can't point to any evidence, that TopLink pulls anything out of the entity class object or the primary key object. And so that's why they've tried to extract it a level higher and say, well, this find method, that's really an object on its own. But objects and classes are defined in software. They're not simply found after the fact. You don't go on a hunting expedition to find, then let me name some classes. They're defined in the software. They have not pointed to anywhere in TopLink that defines the find method as a class, of which an instance could be this hypothetical object that contains the two other objects. And more critically than that, the claim clearly requires that the object name and attributes be extracted from an object, which both parties agree is a singular object. And so even if you had this overarching find method objects, and within it there were two or more underlying objects, entity class and primary key, all thought is saying in all this mountain of evidence is that you're copying the entity class and primary key objects and putting them in the query object. That is not extracting information out of either this alleged object at the top or the two underlying objects. You're simply copying, passing along objects, which again is antithetical to the 197 patent invention, which says you've got to extract from an object. So, and that's where what thought alleges to be the name and attributes are found. The name allegedly is in entity class. The attributes allegedly is in primary key. Thought doesn't argue, even when it invents this, what it now calls a parameters object that it calls an instance of the find method class, it doesn't argue that the underlying name and attributes are actually in that parameters object. It still concedes that they're in the underlying entity class and primary key objects that are copied and passed along. Nothing is taken from them. I think that's all I have on extracting, unless there's any more questions on that. I did want to just very briefly address the one point on packing, go back to that, and just to point to another undisputed fact that Dr. Jagadish, their expert, concedes. This is at Appendix 348 and 349. And this is, as I say, where he's conceding that in this query object, what happens with the query object, that there's no change in the underlying data. He admits that essentially putting these two other objects, entity class and primary key, in a query object, quote, does not necessarily dictate a change in data. And that's in his summary judgment declaration. And I think if you look at the claim and the district court's construction of that claim, that's what is required. And this, just so we're clear where this is on the very bottom of page 348, very top of 349. It says, placing the necessary information where it's expected within those data structures does not necessarily dictate a change in the data.
And right, but that's their point. They're saying it doesn't have to change. The data doesn't have to change.
Well, but something has to be done to the data, even rearranging it. If you're just taking two objects in the way they existed before, entity class and primary key, and putting them in another container as the way they before, that is not packing the data. And that's what the district court's construction, which they do not appeal, requires, is placing data into a form to make it suitable for communication.
Why?
Placing data.
Why isn't it packing? So what that they transfer everything? I understand your point on pulling out everything. It doesn't comport with the word extracting. But why doesn't it comport with the word packing? You pack all your underwear in the suitcase. You pack all your shirts in the suitcase. You pack all your shorts in the suitcase. You have now bundled. You have packed your clothes. The fact that you packed all the ones that you own doesn't change the fact that you packed them.
Well, Your Honor, I think the critical distinction is due to the district court's construction, because the district court's construction is placing the data into a form that makes it suitable for communication. And that's what the parties agreed was the requirement of packing, is changing or placing the data into a form.
Right. You move all that stuff and you put it in your suitcase. Here they moved it all to somewhere else.
But the form of the data has not changed at all. The data is
sure
the same.
It has. It's now a compilation of all of this data.
Well, and Your Honor, unfortunately, real-world analogies aren't always perfect here because this is the digital world. I think, again, if you look back at the purpose of the 197 patent.
I actually think this analogy is exactly on point. I don't see any ground between the digital world and the tangible world here.
Okay.
I mean, all of the object names, all of the attributes, whatever, you put them in somewhere else, a new file for purposes of transmission together. You've now collected things together that you think ought to be packaged and bundled together and sent together. I don't see why that wouldn't meet the packing. At least create a question of fact at a minimum.
So, Your Honor, I think the distinction is, are you packing the container or are you packing the data? And what the claim requires is, and the construction requires, is packing the data, which is doing something. Otherwise, why have this packing language in the claim at all? If all you're doing is taking the data as it previously existed.
You're bundling it with other stuff.
And Your Honor,
you can't just pass it as it previously existed. You can't just take it from one place to the other, leave it there, add nothing to it, subtract nothing from it. But what they've done is they've packed it together with other stuff.
Your Honor, I don't think that's right. All they've done is set it into another object in the way it was before, in the same object, the same data.
This is the manipulation problem. I have a problem with to the extent that you think the data has to be manipulated. I don't think that that's a requirement of packing.
Okay. Well, as I said,
this goes back to your extraction argument, because if there isn't something extracted, then there's nothing to pack.
That's also true, Your Honor, that's why we briefed extracting first. We think that is the clearest ground to affirm. I do want, in my last 2 minutes, briefly, if I may, address the first adapter, those 2 points on unpacking and instantiating. The problem here is really that Thought failed when we move for summary judgment, there's no dispute. The onus is then on Thought to come forward with evidence showing there's an issue of fact. And so we clearly said, hey, the first adapter must perform these limitations. It doesn't do it. All they've identified is these three components that are at Appendix 0350. That's Dr. Jagadish's summary judgment declaration at paragraph 78. And then vaguely said other functions and other packages. What they want to say now is that anything in their 6,700-page expert report and claim charts is fair game for first adapter. But we know that's not true. And why do we know that's not true? If you look at Appendix 0886, this is one page of those claim charts. We're under the claim element about what the first adapter does in unpacking and instantiating. And among the many, many, many different components and methods cited in that section of the claim chart at 886 is the database accessor. That's the third full paragraph right at the beginning there. It says the database accessor class. So if Thought is right that everything within these thousands of pages of claim charts is fair game for first adapter, being a part of the first adapter, then that must include database accessor. Well, is that right? No, because if we go back to Appendix 350 and look at Dr. Jagadish's declaration, paragraph 78 again, he clearly says, the detailed proofs also identify database call and database accessor with the second adapter, not the first. So right smack in the middle of their claim chart are second adapter components. How is the district court to tell what's the first and what's the second from this mishmash of thousands of pages of components recited in a laundry list? especially when some of them are in the second adapter. And that's why the district court was right to hold them to the statements in Dr. Jagadish's declaration and show that they did not adequately identify the components. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Carlson.
I really have only a couple points that I wanted to make and that have to do with extracting. One is that none of the experts, and certainly not Mr. Moore, have pointed to anything in the definition of an object that says that it can't be comprised of other objects. There's nothing in the definition that prohibits that. What it must be is a singular instance of a class, and that is what we showed in Dr. Jagadish's evidence. And then the second point about there being thousands of pages of claim charts, they're all divided by limitation. And the structure that constitutes the first adapter that satisfies the limitation, it's there in the claim chart. It's a standard way in patent cases to present evidence, and everyone knows how to use them. They're inherently indexed, and that's all the time I have. Thank you.
Okay, I thank both counsel for their arguments. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.